You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I was here last time 3 years ago. It was still pandemic. And it is such a joy to be able to see your faces. My messages for these three sermons will deal with the prophet Elijah. He's always been a favorite of mine in reading the scriptures, and I find that there's many things about his life that we can learn from today. So, the scripture for this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Can there be a value more American than self-reliance? Nothing seems to be quite as American as the drive to develop oneself, to follow our own instincts, and to avoid conformity, that is, to fit in just to fit in. No one expressed it better than Ralph Waldo Emerson in his essay on the topic of self-reliance. "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines." Emerson knocks the elites down to size, dismisses them as little, all for the sake of creating space to affirm himself. Talk of lordship seems out of place in an age when both the political left and the political right can appropriate the yellow Gadsden flag with its rattlesnake and message, "Don't tread on me." You can't square lordship and self-reliance. No one is boss over me. No, sir. I'm my own boss. I'll do it for myself. Thank you very much. I'm the captain of my own fate. William Ernest Hensley classically expressed it thus: "Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." No doubt Hensley expresses things in a highbrow way. Many of us resonate much better with Frank Sinatra. "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway. And more, much, much more, I did it my way." I confess, I admire Sinatra's lyrics. I admire people who don't wail and blame others or situations, but instead take responsibility for their lives. I'm a Sinatra aspirant, but all too often I fail at this ideal. But if I believe in God, can it be true that I'm the captain of my own fate? Is it true that I should only and ever do things my way? Doesn't that sideline God? Does God become a bench warmer? Does God even stand for such marginalizing? Perhaps God is not truly the Lord. Now, if you remember, that was the debate in Elijah's time. Queen Jezebel had made it clear that Baal, the Canaanite god, whose name actually means Lord, was to take Yahweh's place in the realm. She worked every way she could to make that happen. Surprisingly, there was very little religious persecution in the ancient world. People were smart. They didn't want to mess with your God because they didn't want to experience your God's displeasure. But Jezebel, the Phoenician, the worshiper of Baal, wanted to do exactly that. She persecuted Yahweh's spokesmen, the prophets, and threatened their lives. Why? Baal was Lord of rain, and with rain comes bounteous harvest. He was the Lord of lightning, fearsome and mesmerizing at the same time. Now, on a personal note, I confess that I'm the sort that if there's a big storm coming across the prairies, I don't run to the basement as I should, but instead plant myself outside to watch it. I'm glued to drama within nature. If you want to be safe, don't be like me. Baal was everything a royal could want in a god, a deity who could bring prosperity, wealth, and with riches, power. When we do things our way or insist that we are the captains of our own fates, we pretend that we can be our own gods or goddesses for ourselves. We don't need God. God is passé. Like Emerson, we imagine that we are self-reliant. If we encounter an obstacle, we just need to reach into ourselves a little bit deeper and discover the power which can sustain us through whatever trial that we face. Fear can be forestalled, and we can enter the battle with strength and confidence. For Jezebel, Ahab, and their minions, Baal was a symbol of power, abundance, and security. We modern people don't look to some idol called Baal. We are far too sophisticated for that. We look, though, to all sorts of spiritual realities. We continue to be addicted to New Age stuff. We enlightened folks are every bit as superstitious as our ancestors. As David Zoll says in his book, Seculosity, the new gods are career, parenting, technology, food, politics, and romance. We look to the innermost core of ourselves, our identities, and we deem that the advancement of the self is what's really real, what gives life meaning, what life's purpose is all about. If God can fit into that program, then maybe he can find a place in our lives. Now, Yahweh simply complies with neither Jezebel's religion nor our religion centered around the self. His claim is to be God, and his claim is true. He is the true Lord. His beef with Ahab and Jezebel is that hundreds of years before at Mount Sinai, after he had delivered Israel from slavery, he embraced the people as his own. And if you remember some years ago, I preached about that using the Hebrew word segula, his valued treasure, the prized possession he wore around his neck, hanging smack dab over his divine heart. Indeed, he made the people his own by marrying them. He does not consent for them to wed themselves to Baal, nor does God consent that we so flaunt and worship the self, as if whatever we call a self isn't completely dependent on God for its breath, its health, and its life. Now, to acknowledge that Yahweh is Lord rather than Baal is not to affirm some kind of feudalism. God is not Lord like Charles is king. Of course, we have no titled nobility in this country, but unlike the illusion that we are captains of our own fates or that we can do things our way, we live dependent on others, in need of what they offer, and are able to provide for them as well. We have no nobility in our country, but we do have alphas as pack leaders. And we can't live apart from the alphas, because ultimately someone must take responsibility for things, take the heat when things go south. So even in our modern quest for egalitarianism, it's not as if there are no powers that be. And we need experts and other authorities if life is at all to go smoothly. Yet ultimately, God is the Lord. We are not our own lords and ladies for ourselves. And let's face it, we simply mess up too much. But if God isn't like King Charles, neither is God like a president. It's not true, as the 19th century revivalist Charles Finney pitched it while Andrew Jackson was running for president, that we ought to, as he put it, vote for God. It's not our election of God that counts. But instead, dear friends in Christ, it's God's election of you. To put it out there, God in Jesus Christ elects you. Many highly religious folks tell us to decide for Christ. But let's be honest. This Lent, we acknowledge that everyone already has decided for Christ. And what is that decision? It's to put Jesus on the cross. If that's our decision, we need salvation from our decisions. Nor is God's lordship about our giving our allegiance to God. Yes, of course, every time we confess the Nicene Creed, we are giving our allegiance to God. And folks, that is a good thing. But ultimately, God establishes his lordship over you. If the belief that we are captains of our own fates, or that we are to do things our way, really squared with nature, then we wouldn't be as anxious and depressed as so many Americans are. We don't entrust our lives into the power of God, who claims us, and I need to make it specific, claims you as his own, who has elected you in Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians 1, who seals you with the Holy Spirit, who bears your sins and griefs in his own body, and who promises you hope for the future and eternal life in heaven. For God to be the Lord is for him to take care of you at all times, and especially when you are most vulnerable. This is how you must understand your life. Dear friends in Christ, your life, God is the potter, you are the clay. God is ever at work in all things that you experience, and at work to help you realize that he is your God, that he will protect you and provide for you. You know that truth from Psalm 23. You have it memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For God to be the Lord of your life is not to detract from your power. But dear friends, in Christ, it is for you to locate your power within his. God proves to be Lord by providing for Elijah in his need. God had the ravens feed Elijah in the wilderness. God permitted the meal to be multiplied for the widow of Zarephath. He raised the widow's son from death. For God to establish his divine lordship is for him to prove that he cares and that he provides. So many atheists feel that if God has all power, then we have none. So for us to affirm our power, we need to X out God. But folks, that's nonsense. God brings an end to our control, our attempt to live out the illusion that we can be our own gods or goddesses for ourselves. But he reestablishes your power in his love. He makes you to be like him, a lord or a lady who is set apart to serve. God proves his lordship in service, giving his life if need be. And so he did on the cross in Jesus' death. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord God has a claim on you. He has created you. He preserves you in being from moment to moment. He is the true Lord of your life. Sometimes that means that our uppityness is disempowered. He humbles us in life's circumstances, and in so doing, he allows us to become teachable. And folks, that is precious. He transforms you by making you realize that he is the captain, that he is the captain of your fate, and he bestows on you a wholesome path in life to walk his way. And if you wonder if you are one of the elect, the answer is not to look to your own subjective faith. Christians don't have faith in their faith. Christians have faith in God's word. And you know this word. If God is for us, who can be against us? To be as clear as possible, for Jesus' sake, your sins are forgiven. For Jesus' sake, you are chosen. Claim that promise as your own. In Jesus, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.